Hello again, witches, seekers, and friends, and welcome to the Fat Feminist Witch Podcast, the show where we do a little ranting, raving, and wand waving. I'm your host, Paige, and together we're going to explore magic and spirituality, social justice, the psychic realm, and most importantly, making magic in the bedroom. Hey, witches, and thank you so much for tuning in to my first episode in a series I am calling FFW Pads, all about home magic. So, hey, Fat Feminist Witches, welcome to my pad. I've been watching some old episodes of Cribs because I'm very, very strange. Is there anyone else my age listening? Do you guys remember the episode with Tyrese Gibson in his house and the, like, humongous murals that he did himself? The Black Last Supper and, like, with Malcolm X baptized Tupac. I fucking love that shit. I love it. I love that he painted them himself and that they are gigantic permanent murals. I love it. Love it. We're all staying home a little more than usual, or a lot, depending on where you're at and what the laws are and everything. And I've recently moved into a new place. So the magic of home and hearth is at the forefront of my mind a lot lately. A lot of kids, you know, grew up dreaming about getting married or having kids or their job or whatever. And I was like, nope, I just want a big old house full of my stuff, all my stuff and animal friends. And that's just it. That's what I want. But even in the places I live now, I put a lot of intention into how I decorate each room and the energy of the space. You can ask anyone who has ever been to my apartment, and they will tell you that it has a very comfortable vibe. It feels like home, not their home. It feels like my home because it's very me. It's all very personal. Everything that I have in view, and I will admit I'm a bit of a pack rat, is, even to others, very obviously carefully chosen and placed. My home really is my story. It's my life story. Everywhere you look, there are things from different points in my life that have mattered to me or inspired me, and every room is different, has different colors, different vibes, different decorations, different everything. And it's always been like that. You know, that's just me. It's how I roll. Looking back, when I decided to buy my first witch book after taking a few years off back in 2012, which was kind of like, that was kind of like a moment that really led to this podcast and this lifestyle I'm living, right? I'm not very surprised that what I bought was Magical Housekeeping by Tess Whitehurst. I started implementing some things in the book right away because it was all very, that was the beauty of that book. It's easy to read, but it's also easy to do. A lot of the spells in the book, they have stuff that you have in your home. They're not very extreme or over the top. It was very easy to start doing that stuff right away. And I noticed how different it really felt in my apartment. Like, I really actually did notice in a big way. Home is my favorite place. It is my sanctuary. I'm a hermit, you know, I'm just a hermit. But home is also the place where I've experienced some of my most difficult moments. I grew up in a home that was abusive, and even when, you know, the abuser was kicked out, the next few years of trying to rebuild our family and ourselves after that kind of trauma were very challenging. I've been abused, cheated on, beaten up, threatened, manipulated, all at my own home, specifically in the apartment that I recently moved out of. I lived there for a really long time, and I experienced all of those specific things in there. So when I read the book, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I need to cleanse the space. I need to clear out the energy that's in here that's been lingering around. It makes sense because I've had very difficult experiences here. So, you know, I didn't have a big store of witch stuff. I got some incense, some salt from the kitchen, regular tea lights from the dollar store, and a set of Christmas bells because it was the only bell I had. And I put one of my favorite records on the record player. It was the Violent Femmes debut album, by the way. Fantastic on vinyl. I still listen to the Violent Femmes a lot of times when I'm doing stuff around the house. It just puts me right in the mood. Anyways, I made some salt water in an old Windex bottle, and I used it to clean my room and my Christmas bells. And then I started going room to room with everything that I had. In magical housekeeping, she said to light a tea light candle, you know, in every room or every space in the house. And so I did. I brought one into everywhere. Every room got a candle and a stick of incense, which it wasn't magical. Like I believe I had gotten it at the head shop and was probably a fruity scent like watermelon or strawberry or something. You know, those are still happy smells. I thought it was more about the actual intention than the smell. And I think I was right. as I went room to room, I, you know, sprayed with salt water. I rang my Christmas bells. I clapped and I danced to the music and I sang along, you know, made a lot of noise and got everywhere. I opened up every window and door. I got behind the furniture. I got into corners. I walked through closets. I filled every nook and cranny that I could find with smoke and with the salt water. Then I took my cleansed broom and I swept every single room. And, I put all the, you know, I collected all the dirt that I swept through that, like, spiritual cleansing, and I threw it out into the street. Cool. Love it. Problem solved. Now what? Within that month, I decided to do some big reorganizing in my apartment. There was a room that was supposed to be the bedroom of that apartment, but I would not use it. I wouldn't use it for that, especially, but I didn't even want to be in there. You know, my ex-boyfriend had cheated on me in that room. I lived in that apartment for a very long time. I just didn't really want to go in there, right? But a few weeks after the cleansing, I felt differently, and I decided to move my bedroom into there and finally have a real living room and an actual closet. You know, the apartment was not comfortable the way that it was, but I didn't want to use that room. By the time I moved out, that was still my bedroom, and it was my absolute sanctuary. It was my most beloved space in the house. And when I looked around at that room as I was leaving, I couldn't even see like the ghost of the room it had been before. I had painted it and I had made new experiences in it, and I had used it in completely different ways, and it was just a completely different room. Which is why I decided to start this series in the bedroom. So today, we're talking about how to use magic to make the energy of your bedroom more conducive to your intentions or your needs. Setting up bedroom altars, color magic, crystals that you can keep in there, and casting spells in there, and all of that. Much like cribs, I'm going to take you through my own bedroom and the experiences I've had and the stuff that I used to create a vibe that was very personal and specific to me that has been very good for magical practice as well as just my life. So like any type of magical act or ritual, as you know, you need to begin by figuring out your intention. And I know you're sick of hearing it. And I know you're also sick of me saying, I know you're sick of hearing it. But think of it as figuring out what you most want and need from your bedroom. Not from a bedroom, from yours. Go into that bedroom. Write it down. All of that. Some common things that, you know, you think of with the bedroom are obviously sleeping well and living your best sex life. Whatever that looks like for you. Those are, you know, common bedroom goals. I also use my room for tarot reading and for like nighttime journaling or serious journaling. This is a place where I find introspection much, much easier because the room is very personal to me. Very, very personal. At one time in my life, the room was the only place in my house where I felt comfortable putting up an altar or leaving out anything witchy or magical, because it just felt very safe and private. Privacy is important to a lot of people in their bedroom. Then we have magical fashionistas out there whose bedrooms, you know, house the medium through which they cast that magic, which is their closet and their clothes, you know, as well as mirrors, catwalks, photo studios. So it's a slightly different vibe. There's not as much of a privacy vibe. Lots of artists I know, they use the room. It's almost like a private art gallery, and everything in there was created by them or inspires their creations. Everyone's a little different. So reflect a little on what you do in your bedroom, what you like, what you would like to do in your bedroom, how you would like to use your bedroom if you're not using it that way now, and what kind of energy would be the most, you know, conducive to that for you. The easiest way to bring a certain energy into your room is through color. Every color has magical associations, all of them, even, and not just, you know, our primary regular colors, but all of the little in-betweens. You just have to figure them out. They also have personal associations for all of us. When choosing colors for your room, combine those two definitions, and that is your personal magical color correspondence. This is actually like a journal prompt in the Grimoire Journal, which comes out next week, because your personal relationship with color, I think, is just as important as its like universal magical meaning. My room, for example, is almost entirely purple and black. My other rooms are very bright and multicolored, like afternoon time, but my room is darker. Temperature-wise, I keep it colder in there than any other room, and it feels more like twilight or nighttime, no matter what time of day you're in there. There's a definite like lunar vibe in the room. According to magical housekeeping, black represents magical power, fluidity, and the water element. Those bright violets, the violet purples, bring in energy of otherworldly beauty, magical realms, wealth and abundance, and connection to the divine. And then the lighter, you know, the lavender and lilac purples have a dreamy, magical, soothing, and inspirational vibe, and are associated with physical beauty and the spiritual aspects of romance. Now, aside from, you know, purple just being a generally, you know, like kind of magical and whimsical color, in general, those specific reasons weren't why I chose those colors, but oh boy, are they accurate for me. Like, that is exactly the energy that I want in that room. So if you already have a room that's the colors that you love, I recommend looking up those colors and seeing if there's a connection there. For me, with the black and the purple vibe, magic, witchcraft, sexuality, sensuality, to me, that's all very, very intertwined. You know, that term, otherworldly beauty, is probably one of my most famous, or my most favorite descriptions of beauty in general. I find any allusion to dreams and fantasy and magic and you know, the occult very romantic and sometimes even really sexy, right? Kind of lusty. If you're an astrology fan or an astrologer, you might not be surprised to know that in my birth chart, Venus is in Scorpio in the 12th house, and Mars is in Pisces in the 4th house. So we've got dark, deep dreams, fantasy, fluid, water, privacy, and the occult. It's all right there. But you know why my room is black and purple? Purple was my favorite color as a small child. Like, I was obsessed with purple, just like all kids get with their favorite color. They have to wear it all the time, and they always pick, like, purple or favorite colored candies or whatever. And then, you know, as I got older, I had kind of grown out of it. I didn't really have purple anything, and it was, like, in my mind, that was, like, the color of childhood, almost. And then my dad gifted me with a nice new bedsheet, like, bedsheet set, a whole big set, 1 year, and it was purple. Like dark purple and lilac, and you got towels and rugs and face cloths and just all sorts of vibrant violet purple. And he was so proud of himself. He's like, oh, I know it's your favorite. And I thought it was like so super cute, right? It was my favorite as a tiny child, but I just thought it was really cute. So I kept the purple. I was like, you know, this is really nice. And it was so nice of him. And it's very cute that he remembered, you know, my childhood favorite color. But lilac sheets are stupid if you are someone who menstruates, so I got black sheets. Because I don't like to look at stains, and that's it. That's the reason. But those colors ended up changing the vibe of my room into something that makes me so much more comfortable. It's deep, and it's cool, and it's calm, and it's magical. And actually, the colors of my room and a lot of the decor did not match that purple and black. And I ended up changing the rest of my room, painting the walls, getting new decorations, hanging them differently to match more with the purple and black and gray and lilac vibe that, you know, I now was fully committed to. So the colors really can make a difference. Warm colors in your bedroom are very refreshing and energizing or really passionate. So reds and oranges are like, you know, action colors. Yellow is really great if you cannot wake up in the morning. Honestly, a bright yellow room with sun shining in is damn near impossible to sleep in. I know this for a fact. So this might be a good thing for you, or it might be a bad thing, you know, depending on when you need to get up and who you are and if that would drive you crazy. If you like to be very warm and cozy in your bedroom, darker warm colors like brown and rust and burgundy kind of bring the energy down a notch, but keep that very passionate vibe. I like to sleep in a cold, dark room. It's a cave. My apartment is hot and it's sunny and it's kind of bright, but my apartment is a cave because I am basically just a hibernating bear. So cool colors like blues and grays, some of the greens, purples, blacks, they will literally make you feel colder if they're on the walls, like it surrounds you. They have this very cool, calm, and I find very restful energy. Darker colors in this palette are very, what is it? It's deep, it's depth, you know, it's a deep sinking in, cradled by the ocean or the void of space or the dark forest, you know, depending on who you are, kind of energy. I see them as kind of internal colors, these super dark colors. Lighter and brighter colors are a lot more like external and expansive and intellectual and just like big, you know, so they're like the blue sky or a wide open meadow with like, you know, little wildflowers, greens and purples, or clean grays and whites that encourage your mind to just fill in the blanks as you look around. I personally think all white rooms are scary. All white houses and rooms to me are very scary because I am just a color loving person. And one of my best friends, lots of vibrant colors make him like almost uncomfortable. And like he comes to my house and he's like, oh God, it's bright in here. It's not bright in here. It's dark as hell because there's colors everywhere. And he finds that kind of agitating, whereas plain blacks and whites are very soothing to him. So it's really up to you and who you are, but there are some kind of constants. You can look up the magical meanings of colors to get started, but like I said, I really encourage you to also think about what those colors make you think of, how they make you feel, if you have any, you know, important experiences that involve that color, and write that down, write with your magical correspondences, like in your grimoire or on a list or somewhere. Because if some color, you know, blue is for healing, but you don't see blue that way at all, then you're not going to get a healing vibe out of it. You're going to get whatever vibe you associate with that blue, no matter what. You'd have to really change your thinking. You'd have to completely change your thinking about it. And sometimes that can just not be possible. Where you put your furniture, the floor plan of your room, can also be designed around the magic you want to create in the room or the energy you want to create there. So feng shui is a Chinese practice that seeks to balance and harmonize the energy of your home. You can use the system when you first move in to plan out what rooms will be where in the house and also what items will be where in individual rooms. It is so interesting of a system. For a really good kind of basic overview of feng shui and how it works and the Chinese elements, because they are different, and the layout of your home, I found one of those really great little plain and simple guides. Feng Shui Plain and Simple, The Only Book You'll Ever Need by Sarah Bartlett. Now, I don't think it's the only book you'll ever need to, you know, accurately practice feng shui, but it will give you the overview and it will tell you how to determine the elements in your home and the sections in your home and help you get started. So I recommend checking that out if you are interested. Feng shui is very interesting. Where you put things in your home, they create certain types of energy. They interact with the other energy in your home. There are a ton of rules about bedroom furniture and energy. Not just in feng shui either, but like in general, everybody has rules about where you can put things in the bedroom. You know, you should never put the head of your bed against a window. You should not have your feet pointing at the door or at a mirror. You should cover your mirrors at night. Some insist your bed should be unencumbered on both sides instead of up against, you know, a wall on one. And you should have matching furniture on both sides for symmetry. Another one is to not store too much under your bed because you need energy flow through there. And that one I actually think is pretty legit. The truth is, sometimes, literally none of this is possible to adhere to. It just happens. For me, the head of my bed is right up against a window, and my feet point directly at the dresser and the mirror, but there's literally nowhere else to put either of those things. I have also always loved sleeping right up against an open window, like ever since I was a little kid. You know, the fresh air and being able to hear outside sounds, it makes me feel so serene and safe. Hearing birds in the morning just makes my fucking day. Smelling the air as I fall asleep, that really nice, clear nighttime air, it feels like home. That's just me. You know, I have some light curtains, sheer curtains if I need them. You know, I can cover it. I have plants hanging in the window. As long as it feels private to me, I don't feel like I'm being watched, that is cool. The mirror is also tilted up, so all I can see in it from my bed is the ceiling. Now, I have had mirrors facing the bed. You know, I had the bed on a wall across from a big mirror, like a closet with big mirrored doors. They were beautiful, but they were humongous, and there was no way to get away from them. You could see the bed in them no matter where it was. And sometimes it was fucking creepy. I mean, first of all, if you forget to close it, fucking creepy dark hole in the middle of your room, right? But the mirror itself, in the dark, I mean, your reflection can just morph and change in front of your eyes if you're sleepy. Like, it can be so creepy. I also found that you see more movement out of the corners of your eyes because there's a reflection that's also moving. There's something else moving in the room. It's just very jarring. So you might want to consider not having them in view from the bed, not being able to see yourself in them when you're in your bed. Or, you know, having your big main mirror in the bathroom or on your way out. I like to have it in the bedroom, but it's not a big deal. A big thing for me is feeling like I physically fit in my room. Like, if I can't get through the space without knocking my knees and hips and elbows on everything and knocking stuff down along the way, I get incredibly agitated. I'm like, oh my god, this is just another place in the world where I'm too fat to live. Scary feeling. If you are fat, please don't punish yourself by only leaving tiny walkways through your home. You might not know you're doing it. I didn't know I was doing it. It's your home. It's for you. And you should fit in it. I'm firm on that. That's a really, really big one. Really big one for me. So in Magical Housekeeping, she has this section about magical power centers in your home. Much like the Bagua, which is like the map of your home in feng shui. But it's much less detailed. It's much less detailed than actual feng shui. So your home is split into 9 equal power centers. And once you figure out exactly where you are, you can optimize each space by using it for that purpose or bringing in items that, you know, amplify that energy. So the power centers, we have gratitude and prosperity for wealth, luxury, and the feeling that you're perfectly safe and perfectly provided for. Radiance and reputation, how you are seen and known in the world. Love and marriage is romance, obviously. Health and family relationships is physical health, cycles of life, family, elders, and ancestors. Synergy, balance, and bliss, the hub of the wheel of life and the mingling and mixing of all energies. In feng shui, they often refer to this as the actual heart of your home. It's the place where all of the elements and the bagua all converge, so it's the very, very heart. Creativity and playfulness is joy, whimsy, fertility, babies and children, new projects, and prolific creativity. Serenity and self-love is stillness, meditation, exercise, rest, and joyful study. Career and life path is being deeply in alignment with one's inner truth and life purpose. And synchronicity and miracles, helpful connections, safe travel, and divine assistance. Sometimes it lines up. And you look at it and you happen to have your bedroom in the love and marriage corner or the self-love corner or somewhere, you know, it's really supposed to be. Sometimes, not so much. Mine happens to be in that synchronicity and miracles corner. And I'm like, well, I guess that's good for magic and divination. But, you know, if your bedroom is in the prosperity section, bring in elements of that and use your bedroom for magic to help you attract prosperity and abundance and the things that you want. Naturally, when I put my own floor plan over the power centers right before recording this, I don't have a love and marriage corner in my apartment. That's the corner that's cut out because there's a little courtyard there. C'est la vie, I guess. It happens. But my new ancestor altar is in the family relationships and ancestors corner. And it was not at first. I ended up moving it there. My bathroom is in the, which one is it? The radiance and reputation and, some of the, like, where is it? Serenity and self-love. No. My bathroom is in the, like, radiance and reputation area, which I think is kind of perfect for the bathroom where I get dressed, put on my makeup, all of that kind of stuff. And my kitchen is in the gratitude and prosperity corner. And that's perfect. The kitchen is full of abundance, prosperity. You know, it's where I keep my food that powers me. It's the stove, which is like a beacon of prosperity, of wealth in your home. That's why you should always keep it clean. We'll get to that when we get to a kitchen episode. So sometimes it does line up. Sometimes it lines up without you even realizing it. I just moved my desk and it turns out I moved it right into the career and life path section from another kind of unrelated section. So very cool. Then we have like images and symbolism. If you went through my bedroom, my pad, and you analyzed the images you see in my bedroom, its theme is very, very easy to articulate. And the theme is badass bitches. Straight up. My room is full of pictures of and representations of women that I have always found strong and inspirational. There's no dudes in here. These women and like girls in here are all different aspects of what, I don't know, femininity, the divine feminine, womanhood, sexuality, sensuality, all of that mean to me. They're empowering images. So I have a small, honestly, it looks like a shrine, and maybe it is, to Pam Grier, who is my badass action hero. I met her, and I have a signed photo from Foxy Brown that she, you know, she signed it, obviously, and I have a few pictures that I took and all of my tickets and stuff from that day in a shadow box. She's my inspiration to be super tough when I need to and also be myself and not worry about fitting into any one label and box. Pam Grier is an interesting person. She's not exactly what you expect, but she's wonderful. I have a Sailor Moon alarm clock and a little pink, like, it's like a vanity, you know? I didn't want Barbies. I wanted Sailor Moon Barbies. So it's a little pink vanity set and a Sailor Moon clock. And these are my, like, young superhero girl representations. That fearless, beautiful, dreamy teen girl magic. That makes me feel so excited about the day, all the time. I have an Enid Coleslaw from Ghost World doll. She's my cynical, sarcastic, and thoroughly fucking depressed queen. She is. Lots of relation there. I have the Venus of Willendorf and a few other places, and I have lots of fat beauty iconography. And a nude self-portrait that is basically me as a star goddess or the star goddess with my body. I don't know. I just call it Star Goddess. But every morning I do look at her slash me, and it's so great. I feel like I'm full of stardust and nebula and galaxies and like I can do anything or be anything. You know, I am filled with infinite possibilities and just otherworldly beauty. It's just my favorite thing to say. And that's something I don't always feel about myself. So that reminder, it helps me remember. I also have tarot cards, psychic reading signs, and an altar on my dresser. You know, now that I look back, my room really is just like Fat Feminist Witch themed, isn't it? I really picked a thing and ran with it. I know from experience that anxiety, fear, and depression can keep you from manifesting your most magical life on the best of days. And witches, these days are not the best. That's why if you're struggling or feeling lost, I want you to consider reaching out to a professional licensed therapist through BetterHelp. Within 24 hours, they'll assess your needs and match you with a therapist that is specially trained to deal with everything from depression and anxiety to grief, conflicts at home, and even sexuality and gender across the spectrum. It's all online, so there's no awkward social distancing in the waiting room. You're in the comfort and safety of home. You can message your therapist anytime and schedule weekly audio or video chat sessions. The service is available worldwide. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and they offer financial aid to those who need it. Lately, so many people have been reaching out that BetterHelp is actually recruiting more counselors in all 50 states right now. I want you to manifest the life of your dreams, starting today. As a listener, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/fatfeministwitch. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/fatfeministwitch. Wild magic grew out of a fascination for herbalism, a love of witchcraft, and a passion for creating natural, chemical-free products that honor our bodies and the earth. All items are handmade by Clarissa Camp with you and Mother Earth in mind. Made with love, purpose, and a sprinkle of magic, we craft intentional products for mindful witches who have a profound relationship with the planet. Our ritual bath salts and sprays are crafted with herbal and mineral ingredients to support your magical intentions, cleanse your sacred space, provide protective barriers, or just bring a beautiful chemical-free scent to your body or your home. So visit our website to learn more and check out our herbal-infused body butters, lip balms, and healing salves, because right now listeners of the Fat Feminist Witch podcast can get 20% off by going to thewildmagic.com/fatfeministwitch and entering promo code FatFemWitch20 at checkout. Now, despite not really liking people, I love human imagery and human pictures, you know, but you don't have to have human imagery in your room at all. If you want privacy, it would actually be better maybe to get all those prying eyeballs off of you. This is why I don't have a lot of like family photos staring at me in my bedroom. Now, if you want the opposite and you dress to impress or you do work in your room for attraction or attention, you might find it empowering to have an audience. Nature scenes, flowers, houseplants, crystals, and wooden art or faux fur, those can all help you feel connected from the planet and like you have this private little oasis. Oasis. Romantic and sexy symbols are obviously pretty appropriate for the bedroom. And you can also decorate with books and symbols from your favorite literature. If your room is your reading nook and you travel to magical worlds in there, you can hang moons and suns and fairies if you want to facilitate a more dreamy and magical vibe. I mean, there's just so much you can do there to kind of amplify and work with your magic. Crystals are a magical tool that I think I might use the most in my bedroom. I have a selenite lamp that I turn on every day and other pieces of selenite in windows and near the door. Selenite is it's very cleansing and protective and lunar. And I feel like it keeps, I don't know, icky energy from like following me in there and setting up shop in the bedroom. I also have specific crystals next to my bed for sleep and dream magic. So lepidolite is calming and also helps with anxiety and depression. That's the crystal that naturally has the lithium, you know, element in there. And I feel it calms my mind before bed. Celestite is great for helping you stay awake, for keeping things from scaring you awake in the middle of the night, and feeling kind of refreshed in the morning. It's associated with angelic protection, so if you're afraid of the dark or you have nightmares, this might be a really good one for you. Amethyst is calming and soothing and sleep-inducing. You know, I laugh and I joke that it's the lavender of crystals. And then you have citrine, which keeps away nightmares and helps you wake up in the morning. So with those two, they're like a little slice of moonlight and daylight, respectively. Galaxyite is another one I have in there. This is a dream-enhancing crystal. I often use it for meditation before bed. It cleanses the aura, so it's good for cleaning off all of the stuff from the day. And it opens up these higher chakras so that when you dream, you're more connected to everything. Crystals associated with romance, sex, relationships, and emotional healing and expression are great for the bedroom. Rose quartz is not my favorite crystal for anything, but I think it's the best for intimate toys and tools that are made out of crystal, like shock rubs. In the bedroom, the rose quartz enhances feelings of just like really general, like you feel very content with your life and yourself. You know, it's got these vibes of love and romance and sweetness. Like all quartz, it's got a super pretty, like it's got a chill vibe. I think quartz is a very chill kind of crystal and helps with healing. Garnet and pink tourmaline are stones that help heal from sexual trauma and resulting depression. Garnet, I believe in the Crystal Bible by Judy Hall, it says it enhances your will to live. And together these two help dislodge and heal deeper and more painful things that you might be carrying around. And then they have this energy to help you experience and explore what sexuality and sensuality means to you in a way that makes you feel safe. Fire agate, carnelian, and sunstone, you know, are super fiery and sexy and passionate and creative. If you pair one of those with something like leopard skin jasper, and now you've got a good environment for what you might call wild and adventurous sexual experiences. If you are a very boring dictionary, you might call it that. I am. If your room's energy is focused on things like beauty or attraction or self-expression, a lot of these crystals do double duty here. For beauty and for expression, I like aquamarine. I also like copper jewelry and pieces of copper in the bedroom. That's associated with Venus, so it's good for love and luck and prosperity. For more good luck and for attracting abundance, a nice shiny piece of pyrite near your mirror where you dress kind of helps you carry that exciting energy through your day. You know, anytime you have a mirror there, it bounces that energy at you. So having that pyrite in the view of the mirror of yourself, I feel like that's one that you channel in that way. Green stones like jade and aventurine. Green stones like jade and aventurine are very lucky and prosperous and look really good in jewelry, which you can hang in your room when you're not wearing and still get those crystal effects. All of your crystals don't have to be, you know, nice big chunks. If you have crystal jewelry, hang that up in your room. You know, cleanse those when you cleanse your crystals. Put your crystal jewelry in the windowsills when you cleanse your crystals with moonlight. Use all your crystals in all sorts of ways. Chrysocolla is one of my absolute favorites. It helps you see your inner beauty, and it also helps you project it. For other old gals like me, it's especially good for coping with age and how it affects your own perception of your beauty. I think it's one that helps me project my inner beauty. I feel like people see it more when I have my chrysocolla pendant on. One of my absolute favorites, honestly. I don't think there's anything it can't do. For a private and protective vibe, you want to turn to your black crystals. Obsidian is my favorite because I find it really stable and soothing, but it's also kind of exciting because of that volcanic element. You know, it's still got that kind of passion. it's also shiny like glass. And I feel, you know, it's got that bouncing away energy vibe, kind of like mirrors. Hematite as well, but that's one I like to put in the windowsills. Smoky quartz is protective and also like energizing. So that's a morning crystal if you have a scary or a difficult day ahead. Black tourmaline is a really nice protective barrier crystal, and I put a small piece in all four corners of my bedroom, like a tiny little force field. And, you know, when I sweep or clean, I just, you know, clear those off and put them back in the corners. Moonstone. It's not a black crystal, although you can get black moonstone. This is protective, but it's also very soothing and allows you to be open to magic. Another thing about moonstone is that it's really, really great for kids. Kids who are afraid of the dark moonstone can totally help. A bright, shiny moonstone. It helps kids feel safe. But it's got this overall, because it's associated with the moon and with Cancer, it has this vibe like mom is watching over them. It's got this mom vibe. So moonstone's really, really good for kids if they get scared at nighttime. And I personally think it's really nice too. So you can hang these crystals in your closet. You can put them in your drawers to charge your clothing with specific energy or intentions. You can keep a bowl of, you know, like pocket-sized stones in your room and intuitively choose one every day that you think you might need. You can put dream and sleep crystals on your nightstand, hang them from the bed frame. Some people put them in their pillowcases and stuff, but that's just a really good way for me to lose crystals. And you can make a protective crystal charm and hang that above your door, hang it in your windows, anything like that. I have altars in like pretty much every room, it seems, but the one in my room is the most personal. Its main focuses are things like beauty and self-esteem, sexuality, healing sex and relationship trauma, and expressing sensuality. So I burn candles there. I burn incenses for those purposes. At the altar, I have images of goddesses like Lilith and Persephone, the Queen of Sheba, the Venus of Willendorf, and Freya, much like the other woman depictions in my room. They are the kind of specific sex, relationship, self-esteem, and beauty goddesses that I am the most interested in, that I relate to the most, and whose stories are the most inspirational for me. Their images are what I consider to be real, authentic, individual, sensual beauty. So this altar is where I cleanse and charge my rose quartz wand, the special one. It's where I charge up perfume and body sprays as well, jewelry, and also my personal journals. I'll put those there to kind of help with that introspective vibe. I almost always have a deck of tarot or oracle cards like right there as well. In addition to whatever one or three I've carried in there on any given day. But I always have one that's in there and that's available and that's in that spot. It's on my dresser. The altar changes often, depending on what I need or what I'm going through, what I'm thinking about, what kind of magic I'm doing in there. Not only does it lend this beautiful energy to the room that I need, but I feel like because of the energy of the room, this altar's purposes, its intentions, are clearer. Does that make sense? Like it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, I don't just use magic to make the room. I also use the room to make magic. Some of my largest and most intense spells and rituals are cast in my room because I feel like my personal energy is amplified there. My room is me, right? So it's my own personal sacred space. You can create any kind of altar in your bedroom. This can be your only altar, your main altar, whatever. But think back on your intention for your bedroom specifically. What do you need to get from this space? A lot of bedroom altars are really altars to meditation itself. You know, it's filled with items and images and tools that help people connect through meditation, get deeper and more proficient with it, get into the right headspace, all of that. If you have a guardian spirit or a patron goddess, you can create an altar that allows you to communicate with them, that is dedicated to them. The bedroom is also an awesome place for an altar to self-expression and glamour, one that's dedicated specifically to love, of course. and also ones that encourage healing and rest. Healing and rest are so important. We do so much healing and resting when we're asleep. It's not wasted time. We're very much using it, right? I have a lot of lunar items and crystals in my bedroom and on that altar there. I also have this beautiful bedroom window with a view of the moon, and like on full moons, I can lay in my bed and just bathe in moonlight all night long. It's fantastic. So a lot of my moon magic is done in that room as well. The more often you use or design or decorate your altar, the more imbued with energy it becomes, and the more energy then you can get from it. Everyone casts spells differently. Everyone, I promise, they're all different. I am lighting a candle on a table and journaling through it, or creating something with my hands kind of gal. So I keep something to sit on near my dresser, near my altar. I have to clear the books off of it to use it, but still it's there. You might be more mobile or active when you cast. Maybe you like to go all out and put the circle on the floor. You can maybe create a dance. Maybe you lie down there, you know, whatever. Maybe you need space, but make sure there is that space in your room always. If you have to move the bed or the dresser every time, you're not going to end up using your space for ritual. You can get a special rug for the floor that's your sacred space. You can get it in a color that's magical or in a shape. So if you do like to do the whole circle thing, get yourself a beautiful circle rug. Don't be afraid to put things in your space or to, you know, design things in a way that facilitate your magic and your ritual. So like, do you chug tea during every single ritual? Like, are you just sitting there drinking cup after cup? There's no rule saying that you can't keep an electrical like an electric kettle and a special mug in your bedroom. There's no rule. Why can't you just do that? I personally keep hand wipes because I am messy when I dress my candles, and I was getting up a million times to wash my hands. Got distracted. I don't love that. If you are someone who works with clothing, with jewelry, with self-expression, there's no rule saying that has to be in a closet with a closed closet door. That can be out. That can be on display. You can use clothes as art pieces in your room. You can put them in certain places, even if you're going to wear them in between, that make a statement, that bring in this energy. Also, I keep stuff in there, like I said, the tarot deck, but also a small box of magical tools that aren't like, it's not cute shit, you know, it's just like matches and lighters and, you know, tea light candles and just all of those little things that I intuitively grab when I'm doing any sort of magical act. That stuff all belongs in there because I use them there. And if I'm suddenly inspired to make magic, I am ready to go right there in the bedroom. That all sounds super logical to me, but some people are like, what? Something other than a pillow or a bell jar in my bedroom? Like, oh my God, something other than like a tiny little garden. Get over it, man. Just like put whatever you want in there. And the fashion one is one I want to mention a little bit further, because people make fun of men especially, but men catch heat for making these like walls to display their sneakers and shoes, or even things like ties. I personally think that stuff fucking rocks. I am not someone who wears high heels. I can't. Physically, I can't. But I love the look of them. I love the way I look in them. I love putting them on when I'm at home and not walking anywhere, you know? So I've never felt comfortable keeping them. You know, I always donate them because I'm like, well, I don't wear these. If you have something that you don't wear, but that you can't get rid of, can't donate, put it out. Use it in your space. It obviously means something to you. It has an energy that you are not willing to part with. You don't have to be perfectly rational when it comes to your bedroom. It's a very emotional space. So put up your shoes. I love that. I love seeing personal expression in people's rooms. Put up your shoe wall, your purse wall, you know, hang up clothes from when you were a kid in little frames, whatever. Go for it, man. Have a great time. Some other things that I do or have done in the past, using magical sprays to cleanse or even, you know, re-up the energy in my room. I keep Beau Magique's La Lune spray right next to my bed, and I spray my pillows and the air around me when I'm doing any divination or dream magic. I give my windows and my mirrors semi-regular Florida water washes, you know, whenever I feel like they need them. On the windows, the Florida water is used to cleanse away any bad vibes and also provide privacy and spiritual protection. So I feel like I'm washing away all the prying eyes, you know? On the mirror, my purpose is to clear away bad vibes that I usually project that are about my body or my appearance or about myself. And also to help me see myself clearly and positively in that mirror. I like to spiritually cleanse closets and also leave behind good energy with my clothes. So sprays are great for that too. But I like sandalwood incense in the closet. I even hung a little sachet of sandalwood in there to just kind of keep that beautiful energy in there. It's cleansing, it's purifying, but it's also magical and lunar. And I just think it is, to me, it's like a universally good smell. And when I did that in my old closet, I had a nice big one. I don't now, but it helped me feel excited about getting dressed every day. You know, I'd pull those clothes out and I'd get this, you know, this light whiff of sandalwood. And I would just think, yeah, let's get out there and make some magic. I still use salt water sprays or sometimes Florida water to cleanse my house broom, my regular broom, and give under the bed and the furniture a good physical and spiritual sweep. Now that I'm in an apartment building, I can't just kind of fling it out the door, but I collect all that dirt, put it into, you know, a little bag, and I bring it down to the garbage when I'm finished. When I come back up from that, the energy in here definitely feels a lot less stale, a lot more open. Something I read in Magical Housekeeping and firmly agree with is that animals have beautiful energy that moves into and through places that you can't access. If you don't like animals in your room, I mean, that's your choice. But I make the room more comfortable for my cats. Allie, the little one that I recently took in, likes a windowsill to lay in. Clover, he does not. He likes a fuzzy blanket on the bed. I make sure that the top of, you know, furniture, they don't go up on things a lot, but there's no way they're going to knock down anything glass or magical because I've purposely made a little bit of space that if they need to check something out up there, they don't have to be afraid. Under the furniture and in all those spaces, I open it up enough for them to just crawl in there. And, you know, cats, they're like liquid and smoke. They get in there and they twist and turn and they move all through those tiny spaces and they really push that energy around. I found the bunny did that too. He got underneath spaces, so the energy around the floor, you know, was it always felt like it was moving. I also keep a catnip plant for them in there, which I'm actually going to talk more about in a second. And I don't mind sharing my scrunchies and my hair ties because they like to play with those. I make time to kind of hang out and snuggle with them in there and just be present and like talk to them. The bedroom is just, this is our safe, cozy place. The cats though, I mean, they fully match the vibe that I'm going for in there. That's me, right? Just consider your room from your pet's point of view and see if there's anything you could improve on. See if there's any way that you can help bring more of their really nice, mobile, natural energy in there. Animal art and statuary and images and stuff like that can also bring that in, but you still don't get that movement. Thus, the salt broom. Okay, so let's go back to these plants. I like live plants, and I like a lot of plants. And the plants that I put in my bedroom were very carefully chosen. First is the Hoya, which is long and willowy, and it's got these big lunar flowers that release just the most amazing smell. Like, it's just intoxicating. It's heaven. At nighttime, it's night blooming. Catnip is definitely for the cats, but it's also magically associated with the moon, with magic, and with that otherworldly beauty that I love so much. It's great in love spells. Then I have jasmine, which is, in my opinion, the sexiest smell on the planet. Like the Hoya, it's a night-blooming, really aromatic flower that's associated with lunar magic, love, and dreams. Finally, we have a patchouli plant, which is just like, it's like, patchouli is like my signature scent. It's the base note for all of my smells. So you can choose live plants that match your purposes. Lavender and catnip are sleepy time plants. Amazing. They're also very healing, and you can make tea out of both of them. So if you're the one that's putting that teacup in your room, go for those. Those small little rose bushes, beautiful, romantic, awesome. Long, spirally, tenderly hanging plants. These are very, like, one of my favorite words ever, languid, luxurious, and they're just a whole lot of shit, right? Like, the Hoya is so much of a plant. It's a little bit extra, but that's what I love about it, is it's cascading, it's reaching out. Succulents are really healing and really protective, and they're also smaller and more contained. And I think that's why a lot of people find them so calming, is because there's very little chaos when it comes to a succulent. Not like, you know, the big tenderly plants that you can't predict. This thing is chill. It's got a very chill vibe for that reason, I think. Mugwort is a magical dream herb, used in all sorts of magic and spells, and you can absolutely grow your magical plants. You can have your magic garden in your bedroom. You know, who says basil needs to be kept in the kitchen just because it's tasty? Basil is a solar herb associated with radiant beauty. That's perfect for a lot of people's bedrooms. It's perfect. It's a great one to kind of like grab a leaf and rub it on your fingers or yourself as you leave. Then you can use those plants in your spells and rituals. Also, if you can't grow live plants, that's cool. Fake plants are dope. My advice there is, don't hang it above your bed if you're never going to dust or vacuum it, unless you really like eating more spiders than you do now. But fake plants and images of certain plants, again, can bring some of that energy into your home. You can get, you know, vintage botanical drawings of certain plants and herbs that match your purposes, like the mugwort or the lavender, the jasmine, roses, anything like that. You can bring more of that natural energy in. Now, if you're suddenly inspired to get some paint and redo your entire bedroom, that's awesome. But you really don't have to, like, trash it all and start from scratch. You don't have to spend $1 million either. Nothing I've shared is like, absolutely do not do this, or you absolutely need this item. Which is why I shared what I have in my room with you. I'm sure a lot of you, especially those who like clean, white, minimalist design, are horrified at my choices. And that's perfectly okay, because it's not for you. If I was dating somebody and they really hated my bedroom decor and my vibe in there, I would probably consider us incompatible. Theoretically, we'd have to share that space eventually. So I would need us to, you know, both feel comfortable there. Unfortunately, I am single, and so I can't give a lot of advice on how to practice magic in the bedroom if you have a partner who's not feeling it. But in general, you should consider them and what energy they want to get from the space as well, even if they are not a magical practitioner. So this would be a fun thing for you guys to think about together: the vibe that you want in the room, the colors that make you happy, the furniture placements that make you feel safe together. You know, don't keep photographs of past relationships, even happy ones, in the bedroom. I do think photos and art of the two of you are great. Make sure your partner also feels like they are able to fit in that space. And there's no reason you both have to have, you know, all the same shit. You don't have to have the same nightstand or lamp or matching furniture or even pillowcases. Like, why? Does everything have to match? I think it's beautiful when you see a couple's room and it really is a blend of those two different people. both of their styles, both of their colors, their prized and emotional possessions, both of their energy all mixed together in one really intimate space. How magical. Thank you so much for joining me today here in my witch pad. If you have a magical bedroom or things in your bedroom that are part of your practice and you want to share it with me, I would love to see it. You can use the hashtag FFWpads on Instagram and I'll be able to find it. I wonder if I'll ever stop laughing at that. I doubt it. What a cheesy joke. So my new book, The Grimoire Journal, comes out next week, July the 14th. It's currently available for pre-order, and if you do that by the 13th, visit my website to find out how you can get a free Grimoire Journal companion as a thank you. It's digital or printable. So the book features a bunch of different quotes about magic and writing, and I'd like to share one with you now that I think fits with our theme today. The most important ceremonies aren't the ones full of pomp and flash. They're the little everyday things we do with the people we love. And these rituals and rites of passage are what fuel and protect us best. And that's from Festively Hexed by Sarah Bourgeois. To learn more about me or the Fat Feminist Witch podcast, check out my website at thefatfeministwitch.com or find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. If you want to support the show, you can do that by going to my website and clicking Buy Me a Coffee, joining my private monthly membership group at patreon.com/thefatfeministwitch, or by advertising your witchy product or service on the show through advertisecast.com/thefatfeministwitch. I hope you all have a wonderful and witchy weekend and that you join me here again next time on the Fat Feminist Witch podcast.